Thanks so much, Lydia. I really appreciate it. I want to thank Lydia for approaching me to speak, and I consider it a real opportunity, and I appreciate the support Lydia has given me I've had about this. And I've been in Bonner for quite a long time. I think as far back as 2007 or anymore. Really thrilled to be doing this tonight. A little nervous, but thrilled. And I'd like to, if I could, I'd like to dedicate this speaker's there to my wife tonight. And that'll become a little apparent when I do my share, what that's for me. Well, I'm going to be talking about our program and how that helped me get where I am today. But I thought what I would do first of all is just put up my statistics. So there are my statistics, and I'm very grateful for that. I could not have those statistics if it weren't for all of you, for Bonner, for Nicotine Anonymous, for our program, my higher power, and the efforts that I've put in myself. So I'll start out with my story. My story begins around the age of 9. First of all, I remember them smoking Lucky Strikes. I was born in the early 50s, and I'm talking maybe around 50 them, where I remember them. When I first remember them smoking, it's like at the dinner table, and I remember they were smoking Lucky's. I'm filled. And I think they were just maybe coming out with filter cigarettes, I'm not sure. But anyway, I had two brothers who were friends of mine down the street. And, their mom smoked and their father smoked cigars. So so we got together one day and we used to have these tracks. There was a store that we could easily go to, and in those days, nobody asked you for ID or anything else. They just assumed that you were coming to pick up smokes for your parents. So we went, and I remember we bought a pack in Newport, and we were sitting on a log in the woods, and we were we lit up these cigarettes, and first we puffed. And then I remember like inhaling just a little bit, and how much it hurt when it went down. I think we left the cigarettes there under the log, and it might have even rained the next day. And we went back maybe a couple of days later, and you know, just before. And so that was that. With some of the same friends and some other friends, around the age of 14, I started before that, but at 14, I was pretty much smoking regularly. The friends that I hung out with smoked. When I got to college, at the age of 18, I was pretty much probably smoking a pack, 4 or 5 more cigarettes a day at times. It kind of varied. But, you know, I wasn't thinking about whether I was nicotine dependent or addicted to nicotine. There wasn't a lot of talk about being addicted to nicotine. There was information that nicotine was not good for your health, and that people had, some people had a hard time quitting. And then, you know, I don't know what it was that, you know, the warnings on the cigarette packs came about, but that, I was probably my senior year of college when it all happened. And I'm talking about, like, 1973, 74. I think about, by then, but the Surgeon General, can't remember his name again, but, then what was happening with some of my friends, by the way, I grew up in the late 60s and 70s, so I was very much into that period of time. And, we went to a lot of concerts and stuff like that. And, did our share of partying and fooling around and stuff like that. And some friends of mine started to get into vegetarianism and being healthy. And so I kind of picked that up from them, and I wasn't a strict vegetarian or anything like that. I just kind of basically and started to go to like a health food store and, you know, buy a lot of stuff from the health food store and learn to like cook healthy stuff. And I really got into this whole health thing. The school I went to was on the Jersey coast, so I used to go surfing a lot, and I loved that. And then in my senior year, the end of my senior year, my friend and I, we went across country, and we hitchhiked around to a lot of states, and western states, and up in Canada, all around. And my goal was to go to Oregon and find a place to live there and to go to school there. I wanted to go to the University of Oregon. I got there, and I wound up getting a job in a VA hospital. And this was in 1974, and a lot of guys and gals were coming back from Vietnam. And I worked in the psychiatric inpatient unit. And it was a real intense experience. And at that time, I was practicing yoga. I had a bicycle. I didn't have a car. I used a bus. And, you know, very environmentally minded. And I'm still at it. But, and just did a lot of hiking. And I was probably like as fit as I ever was at that time. I developed some kind of gastrointestinal problem, which became pretty severe, and I wound up coming back east. And not too long after that, I wound up in the hospital viral hepatitis, hepatitis A, and I was in the hospital for about 7 weeks. I went through a pretty horrible, horrible depression, and it turned out that that I was biologically prone to depression. So the psychiatrist that I saw said that, you know, I would have to be on medications probably for the rest of my life for depression. And the missions really. And at that time, I used to go to the Y a lot and work out, running and swimming. I noticed that. I want to say I always was a pretty nervous kid and a nervous guy, and kind of prone to melancholy. And as I look back on my life, I can see that in the earlier part of my life, I probably suffered from depression. Not only from, like, stuff that was happening in the family issues, but the biological aspect as well. And, let's see, I just blacked out. So I was trying to recover from a lot of the stuff that I had been through. I kind of just started doing some soul searching with myself, and the life that I was living with being a vegetarian and doing yoga and that type of stuff, went by the wayside. And I kind of picked up where I left off with being who I had been before that, if that makes sense. And one day, I just had the urge to come. It was like heaven. I really enjoyed it. And so I started smoking again. And I felt also that the smoking was actually helping my depression. So I began my career again of smoking. And that had gone on from about 1978 to around 2012 or so, or probably a little earlier than that. For all those years, we're talking maybe about 25 years from 1978. And I remember that that smoking did a lot of things for me. At least I felt it did anyway. And what I felt it did for me is I felt that it helped me with my nervousness. I felt that it helped me with the social anxiety that I had. And I felt that it, I used it as a reward. I used it to handle stress. I use it just to chill out, and sit in my back heels, and part of me that it feels like it was part of me. It was even more than a friend. I'd say it was a part of who I was. It became that to me. And I'm not sure why totally it was like that, but that's the way it was. And now, even in my younger days, when I first started smoking, and then after I started up again, I was always trying to quit because I began to realize that this stuff was really no good for me. And I remember getting bronchitis as a kid really bad. And I remember saying to my doctor, my chest feels horrible and my lungs feel horrible. But lo and behold, I went back. And I think that was a bit surprising to me because I thought that, anytime I want, I could stop using. Stop smoking. It wouldn't be any problem for me to stop smoking. And it wasn't in my mindset that this is a addiction and it's real hard to stop doing it. So how I tried to do it is I would try cutting down. I would try not smoking, and it wouldn't last very long. I would say in the middle of the 1990s, I am holding, and having been working in the mental health and substance abuse field, I was very familiar with 12-step programs, I said, I'm going to try this. I went, and it was great. I really loved it. I don't remember the book that we have. It's probably maybe the first King Anonymous book, maybe the second edition, possibly. But that's here nor there. So I was going regularly to the King Anonymous groups. And there was only like four of us. And unfortunately, but I felt very often that I could quit by going through the program. So that ended, and so I just went back to how I was, which was I went back to smoking. And then, you know, there began to become rules about where you could smoke. That wasn't so much of an issue for me because I always smoked outside. No matter where I was, I would always go outside and smoke. I was always attentive to not wanting other people to experience my secondhand with what little I also used to pick up the bikes after I stamped them out and used to throw them in the garbage. And I tried to do that instead of throwing them on the sidewalk or the street or anything like that. So I must have been a picture to look at. You know, here I am smoking and then throwing it down, stamping it with my foot, rubbing it out with my foot, and then picking it up and then throwing it in the dumpster or wherever. So there were times in college where when I ran out of money, I used to get the cigarette butts and open them up, and I just happened to have some rolling papers, and I would just roll a cigarette, and the necessary fix. I knew in my 20s, when I got into the health routine, that smoking was not good for me. It kept me from getting really involved in sports when I was younger. I hung around with only certain people because I thought other people who didn't smoke really wouldn't want to be around me. I really limited myself, and that limiting of myself, I think, continued later on. Although I began to have an attitude of, look, I'm not bothering anybody. These are my buddies. These are my friends. And I just need them. So I'm certainly working inside of a restaurant or anything like that, or in the house, or, you know. So you let me smoke, I'll be very courteous about where I smoke. So, nicotine did a lot of things for me. It was very powerful. And then what happened later on, and I would say around the year 2000 coming forward, I started to have some of the medical problems that I had, like acid reflux, got extremely bad. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and almost food would come up and I would almost aspirate. I had acid reflux really bad. I noticed that as time was going on, I noticed that I was wheezing. And I'd go to bed at night, and I could hear my chest wheezing, and it scared the heck out of me. Then I wound up having pains in my chest. And one day I was at work. This was probably about 2008 or so. I was at work, and all of a sudden I got chest pain. I just felt really weird, and one of the nurses that I worked with, and took my blood pressure, really high in my ambulance, and the doctors told me that, you really need to quit smoking. Because it's, your heart seems to be okay, but it's looking like the acid reflux is causing, like, chest pain. And, by that time, I would say it was probably somewhere around 2006 or before that. I was looking on the internet. I thought of nicotine. Well, first of all, let me say this. I really started to get serious about quitting smoking, I would say, in around 2003, 2004. I went through laser treatments. I went through a smoking cessation program. I did it all. Whatever is out there, I did it. I used nicotine nasal spray. I used the patch. I used gum. I used it all. And then I tried all of those things and nothing really worked for me. So I got on my computer and I looked up Nicotine Anonymous to see if there's any meetings around. And there weren't any meetings close to where I live. Actually, they were pretty far away. So, and I saw that Ronar, and I went and I had a Yahoo mail account, and that was when our meetings were on the Yahoo chat room. So I went and I kind of was looking at. I got to where the room was, where there was a meeting, and I was getting ready to click, and I don't know how many, some of you here, I'm sure you may know, may remember Roz. Roz welcomed me into the room before I even pressed the button to go into the room. I went in. And that was my first opportunity to speak. There has been a group that I, a face-to-face group that I used to attend. Now it's down to about once a month, but with a lot of stuff that's happened in my life over the past 4 years or so, five or 6 years. I tried to, like, trying to balance out what my responsibilities are and my recovery in this program and also recovery that I began in another program around June. So I just want to mention that my wife had several back surgeries from 2010 to that she was constantly having numbness in her legs and difficulty walking, and she had surgeries because the MRIs were showing that she had nerves that were being blocked by bulges in her spinal discs. And what happened is it just became progressively worse. And it was about a year and a half ago that it was all a mystery about why she became paralyzed from, like, about the waist down. mystery. We found out that she has a rare neurodegenerative disorder that affects the nervous system, and nobody knows really what causes it, and there's no cure for it, and it is terminal, and it progresses over time. So she just got that diagnosis last November, and just recently, about a month, 5 weeks ago, she decided, she made a decision that she wanted to go on hospice. So that's why I wanted to dedicate this leadership. So the past 6 years have been pretty tough with her having to, things got to the point, her condition got so bad in 2012 that I was no longer able to work, and we had a living also. We both were not able to take care of her at home because her condition was beginning to deteriorate pretty badly. And so I had to make a really horrible decision for her to go into long-term care. It was a really difficult time, extremely difficult time. It was at a time when I was, when I just had, from nicotine, and it was a very stressful time, and in order to keep my quit, I resorted to using some patches at that time. But what wound up ultimately happened is I began to get sick too. My depression got very severe from the stress that I was experiencing from both from my job and both from the caregiving. It had been a kind of a slow process of me just kind of wearing down. And so I was on disability. We wound up having to let go of our house, and I had to come live with family, and my wife went into long-term care, and she's been in there since, in long-term care since July of 2012, and despite everything, she's stable right now, and looking at memories that we've had in our life, and we've been married for 30 years this October, and so there's a lot for us to talk about. So there have been a lot of experiences, a lot of stressful experiences over the past 4 years, and sometimes, you know, after visiting her, I would come home in the evening, and I would hit a meeting, and sometimes I would share in some of the topic meetings with the topics that people brought up. There were times when I just I shared some of what I was going through, and I realized, and people were just so gracious about when I shared some of the stress that I was going through. And, at that time, I wasn't in any therapy. And subsequent to that, I spent some pretty extensive treatment because I needed it pretty bad. So I just kind of wore down. I had the support of my family and some very close friends, and my wife's cousin has been a real support. And, I'm holding my own, and I'm very grateful that I'm not smoking. I can breathe again. I'm into exercising again, and it feels really good. And my lung capacity is at 9 when I first started quitting. And by the way, I had to practice here. I'm jumping around, I know, but I just want to mention these things. I had to practice quitting. I had to keep practicing quitting and using the tools of the program. I had a real hard time reaching out to other people because I just had really bad social anxiety. And then finally I learned that, you know, you're not really bothering anybody, Bob, when you call them and ask them, you know, and talk to them about you having a bad time. And so it took me a while to get over that. And I went through periods of time where I had 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. I even had 20. I said, I was going through a lot of emotional pain. I think I said to myself, if I have to live like this, I can. But if I go back to smoking, maybe that would relieve it. which, of course, was the hippie meeting talking to me. And the sponsor that I had had always told me that smoking over stress is not going to take the stress away. And he knew it right. And I had that sponsor for him until I went into his intensive treatment with the depression that I was going through, which I think was a great decision on my part and helped me really get back on my feet and get strong again. And what was nice about the treatment program that I was in is it also had a recovery aspect to it, too. So that was good in addition to coming to meetings. So so that's where things are. When I had periods of good time, I did some service work with being a co-chair, and I think I might have even chaired a couple of meetings. Never got my administrative. But now, I think what I can do, the service that I feel I can do right now is to, do things like being a leader and reading the steps and the traditions and the promises and things like that. And I know that someday I'll be able to devote more to Nicotine Anonymous for all that Nicotine Anonymous has given me. That's been a lot. So, I guess really that's about it. My health is so much better, and food tastes great. I've been getting over. I have really hard on my social anxiety. That's gotten much better. I've been working the first 3 steps, and I've done some work on 4th step. I journal a lot, so in some of my journaling, I've actually wrote down some 4th step things, and I'm going to continue to work on that a little bit at a time. And then my goal, of course, will be to get to the 5th step. So that's where I am, and I'm very grateful to be where I am right now, that I'm not smoking today, and with the grace of my higher power and my program itself, I'll stay smoker one day at a time. So thanks for letting me share, and I just want to wish everybody that they if you're having trouble quitting, one of the things that I heard was that helped me a lot is don't quit quitting and the miracle is going to happen. And it did. And I want to thank all the people who started this, started Vomit and Nicotine Anonymous, and all the people that keep it going. I think that's it. Thanks for listening. I wish everybody good luck and good health.